All right, this evening we're in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 tonight. Every week I'm blown away by what we're learning about the Lord Jesus and his speaking to the people. And tonight we're looking at the title, Listening to the Word. Listening to the Word. And we focus on listening to the Word. But we're going to see that Jesus has a little bit more in mind when he has that to say here in our text tonight. We're going to be looking at the parable of the sower and a couple other short paragraphs that Luke puts together to tag on to the end of that to really drive the points home that Jesus was bringing. So we're looking at Luke 8. We'll be covering verses 1 through 21 tonight. We'll pray and we'll jump into the text tonight. Father, we thank you and give you praise for all that you have done, what you're doing now, and we look forward to what you're going to be doing in the future. We thank you that we have a prayer. Thank you that we can come to you at any time. And as we confess our sins and maintain our testimony with you, we know that your ears are wide open to our requests. And so tonight, as we do every Wednesday and through the week, we get a new list of folks. And Father, we want to lift up Bob Krieger tonight as he is facing treatment now for the leukemia. And we're thankful that he's able to have this done by someone that he actually knows, good friend. And so we ask that you will use this friend and this treatment to do what is necessary. And we ask, Lord, that you would actually come in your own power and might and intervene and get rid of that and cure it for him. And so we know that you have the power to do that, unlimited power. And so we ask that for Bob, and we ask that for all those of our fellowship healed, those on our prayer sheet. And many have been there for a long time, and we're looking to you for miracles, miracles just like you worked when you were on this earth. And we know that that is still valid. It is still possible today. You can touch people and heal them. And so we're asking you to do that for the folks that we are praying for. We ask now tonight that you would speak to our hearts through this text in Luke. We do thank you for the good Dr. Luke and the way you enabled and empowered him to write these things for us and to record the accounts of our Lord Jesus and his words that he had to say, his preaching and his teaching. And we ask that you would speak to us through that tonight. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for this time. I trust and depend in you for that. And ask that you would bring home these points that we need to get here tonight. And we ask that you, through your power, would make it very crystal clear to what we need to hear and what we need to do. So we give you praise, give you thanksgiving, Father, and look forward to your help here tonight. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Listening to the Word. By way of introduction, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 of Luke chapter 8. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout, notice, every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. So here's Jesus. He has a ministry. He's preaching. He is teaching. And he is working miracles. He's healing people. He's casting out devils, which were prevalent at that time. And so the ministry of Christ was beginning to attract a lot of people. and large crowds and caravans of people would come out of every city and town to hear the Lord Jesus. So it tells us here that all 12 disciples were there on this occasion. Also, there was a large group of devoted followers traveling with him. Also, there is a band of women who supported his ministry financially. I'm not sure if that's written down anywhere else, but that kind of stands out, that we have these ladies who must have had some kind of business or their husbands, but they were there and they were giving of their substance in order to help Jesus' ministry to go forward. So what's happening? Jesus is no longer secluded. He's no longer operating in little small places and in houses. He is now famous. Everybody knows about Jesus. Everybody knows about the miracles, and they are coming out of every city and every village to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. This crowd on this day may have been the largest crowd yet. It was an impressive scene, but Jesus himself was not impressed. It's the same thing today. You know, large crowds gather for this and large crowds gather for that, but that does not mean that God's work is being done. We could pack any church on a Sunday night. We could pack this church out on a Sunday night. We could pack out the rooms in the back. We could set up chairs everywhere. We could set up chairs down the aisle if we would raffle off a Mustang. If we would raffle off a Corvette, this place would be full. That doesn't mean we're doing God's work. We could have Jaguar night. That would probably mean standing room only, open the windows, whatever. But the people of the world love a gospel that is good news the way they define it. Good news the way they see it. That's a good gospel. But Jesus was concerned about his humongous crowd that had showed up on this occasion. I'm concerned about these people and their souls. He knew that many came simply to sample what's happening. They just came to see the miracles. They just came to see if what my neighbor told me was true. And so here they are, this great big crowd. Some had no spiritual interest at all. Some, by their repeated hearing but not believing, were now hardened. It's interesting how as people age, they harden in their hearts, many of them. I saw that firsthand at my last reunion just a month ago or so. Jesus teaches using a parable that, if understood and applied, would open his hearers to undreamed of blessings. So that's what Jesus is after. Point number one tonight, the parable of the soils, or you could say the parable of the hearts. We're going to look at four kinds of hearts here tonight. Let's get the background of the parable here in verses 5 through 10. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. It rock-hard concrete. Seed doesn't do anything, and the birds came, and they took it away, ate it. Verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it out. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Doesn't that sound cruel? They're going to hear, but they're not going to hear. Really, that's not what he's saying there. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Jesus is never cruel, is he? Never, ever. All right, so for this parable, Jesus uses a rich agricultural scene. Something that these people are very aware of. They've all seen this. They all know what he's talking about. They're all familiar with it. They've all seen the man in the field. They've seen him with the seed bag. They have seen him casting the seed for it to get planted. The seed is the word of God. The farmer is Christ, or anyone who shares the good news of the gospel. The soil is the various conditions of the heart. And as the sower casts his seed, it falls on all kinds of ground. When you cast something, you can't decide where every little seed is going to go. Of course, there are going to be different results when the seed is cast out into this field. And then Jesus says to the people, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is longing for these people to get and understand what he's saying. They need to get this. And it was the same thing in Isaiah's day. The same thing was happening in Isaiah's day. Isaiah would preach. His preaching was plain. It was simple. It was reasoned. But the key word is the people of Israel rejected the preaching. They rejected it. So what happened? They continued in their merry little sin or their great sin, and the next thing you know, they're in captivity to some other nation once again. They just didn't seem to get it. Over and over, it was the same thing. And so the word was rejected that Isaiah had to say, and those hearts were hardened as well, and that's not a good thing. So what's happening here is that many of the people, especially the religious leaders, they heard the straightforward teaching of the Lord Jesus, but they rejected it. They said no to that. We're not going to take that at all. They rejected the truth. So ultimately, the truth would be taken away from them. That's the point Jesus is making. I'm giving you the truth. If you keep on rejecting the truth, it's going to disappear. It's going to go away. Your hearts will be hardened, and you're going to end up in hell. That's not good. I don't want you to go there. So, those who receive the truth and act upon it are going to receive more. Those who listen to the word, apply the word, do the word, are going to get more, not less. It's not going to be taken away. Those who reject the truth will lose the little bit that they have. This principle is true in other areas of your life. If you do not do physical exercise, you will lose muscle mass. That is a fact. I am living proof. You either exercise and keep them toned up or you lose it, okay? The principle is use it or lose it. For me, I use it once in a while, you know. I'll do the muscles once in a while, you know. I'll stack the cords of wood. Okay, that's done. Don't do that again until next year. You use it or you lose it. The principle in hearing God's word is the same. Use it or lose it. And more accurately, it is do it or lose it. When it comes to the word, we must hear it and we must do it or we will lose it. Okay? That's a very, very important point. That is like maybe the biggest point of this whole talk that Jesus is giving them. Do it or lose it. The first step of listening is hard enough. We just had the account not long ago of Eutychus in the book of Acts. What happened to that guy? Well, he was listening. And then the torches and the fire and the evening and the musty and whatever else, he fell asleep. And out the window he went, and he was dead. And they all ran down there, and Paul ran down there, and he was raised back to life in the book of Acts. The poor guy fell asleep on Paul. And Luke is there to record the whole thing. We also, in that message, we talked about all kinds of things that happen when people fall asleep in church. Some of that is quite humorous. People say Christians don't have any fun, but we surely do. So we're not going to go into any of those tonight. We already did that. But the concern is the thousands of people who sit in a pew every week with bodies awake and souls asleep. That's the problem. That's the concern of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God's word demands more than listening. It demands the doing part. Do the word. As believers, we have to determine to always respond to the word that we read in our devotions. We get with God alone, and we need to respond to God's truth as we meditate upon it, or whenever we hear it preached, or whenever we hear it taught. You know, for me, it's a treat when my wife and I could go up to Menominee Falls and take in that almost a whole week of the prayer conference. I mean, that is awesome. You're gathered there with a whole lot of people who want to hear, who want to be changed, who want to grow. And that's what it has to be like for all of us whenever we hear the word preached or taught in our Sunday school class or what we're digging in our own personal devotions. We have to develop the spiritual discipline to respond to the word. Not just hear it, but respond to it. Respond to God's truth with action. Something has to be done, even if it's ever so small, but at least something, we got something out of it and we did something. It's do it or lose it. So our response brings certain vengeance or certain blessing. For the Israelites, they rejected, they went to captivity. That was vengeance. But then when they woke up and they say, you know what, maybe we ought to listen to God. Maybe we ought to do what he tells us to do, and then there are certain blessings to follow. So then he's alone with his inner circle, and the Lord Jesus begins to explain this parable. He's going to tell them what this is all about. Four kinds of hearts are present in this crowd of people, this vast crowd from every city, from every village. There's four kinds of hearts out here in this crowd. Those same four hearts are present today in every church, in every gathering, in every assembly. The same four hearts are there. Jesus wants his hearers to truly listen. That brings us to point number two, the parable explained. The parable explained. We'll start with verse number 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And then the Lord Jesus gets into the four kinds of hearts. The first one, A, is in verse number 12, hard hearts. Hard hearts in verse number 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. So they're hearing. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. A hard heart, you give them the word, it bounces off. It's the seed hitting the concrete, it just bounces around. The birds come and they take it, they devour it, and it is gone. The seed is cast on the hard, beaten down path. And all the people in the crowd understood what he was talking about. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil takes it away immediately. It's there, and it is gone, so that they cannot believe and they cannot be saved. The farmers' fields in those ancient days were along paths, beaten down by people's feet, beaten down by the hooves of animals, smashed by carts and wagon wheels that went by. You can tell this is a very, very hard, beaten down surface. And the seed just bounces like a ball on this. And there's just no chance. And so their lives are just crowded with what they think are more important things than worship. There may not be any huge, big, bad sin involved in this, but there's no interest in God's word at all. They won't worship God, but they will worship all kinds of other things. This kind of ground has to be plowed. This kind of ground has to be broken up. This kind of ground needs a tractor with those big, bad metal, whatever they are, rakes, and just rip it up. It needs to be broken up. And you know how that happens? Pain, sorrow, car accidents, bad things happen. And when that happens, sometimes those hard hearts get broken up and they become good ground where that seed can take root. B, secondly, shallow hearts, verse number 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. This person, quote, believes, but in a time of testing, they fall away. This is the seed that pops up real fast. The sun hits it and kills it. It is gone. It is done. This is the person who makes a dazzling profession of faith, speaks boldly, dominates testimony time, but then he breaks his leg, curses God, and sues the owner. That's what this second one is all about. He had a shallow, emotional experience, but the heart was never penetrated. This person also is lost. Affliction came and he was gone. He emotionally tasted something, but not true conversion. He remained terribly lost. There was no real life, and that soul still needs to come to know Jesus as Savior. C, or the third heart, is the infected heart. The infected heart, verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Infected hearts. Next, some seed falls among the thorns. These people hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, by riches, by pleasures, and they never mature. Nothing ever happens. The thorns violently choke out the seed. The heart makes gestures toward Christ, but life's worries leave no room for authentic spiritual concern. This also is a lost heart. 1, 2, 3, all lost. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. The love of the world strangles the seed, and there's never a salvation there. D, or the fourth one, is the good heart. Good hearts. Verse number 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, next word, keep it. Or just keep, the it's in italics. So they heard, but then they did something with it and bring forth fruit with patience. This is the only one who follows through. The good heart hears the word and he does it. Here's the word, and he does it. Good heart. Here is the rich lush soil where the seed lands. It is nourished and it brings forth wonderful fruit. You know, the apple harvest this year was amazing. I mean, we go down the hill and support the folks, Marty and all them down here. And you go in there, and every year, they've been there 8 years now. Can't believe it. But they have boxes of all kinds of apples. You go around the circle and pick what you want. Man, those apples were incredible this year. Some years are just little and puny and not that hot. But this year, wow. They had boxes of seconds on the floor. And I said to Marty, one of the owners, I said, pick me a box. So she did. She looked at the apples and she knew what was in there. And this one said, there's a lot of pink ladies on the bottom of this box. She said, take that one. We're going to make applesauce. Oh, man, it was the best applesauce ever. Really good. So good seed thrown into good soil, and it is nourished, and it brings forth wonderful fruit. This person hears the word of God, they receive the word of God, they retain it, and they produce fruit. That's what it's about. It is a heart that allows God's word to take deep root way down deep inside the heart. And that heart produces a harvest of great character and the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. And then that heart produces a bounty of good works. They hear and they go and they do it as that heart is remade by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are created in God unto good works. Right? Ephesians 2:10. This great parable explains vividly what goes on with those that sit under the teaching and preaching of the word. We learn what true hearing is. It is a heart that hears and does God's word. Look at what happens next. In the next verses, Luke is going to link two supporting paragraphs to further understand the parable that Jesus has just done. And so point number three is the lamp. The lamp, verses 16 to 18. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whomsoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So here's the lamp. Luke is adding these two more paragraphs on to the end of the parable of the soils, the hearts. So Jesus says that those who hear the word and receive the word are like lamps, lights. They hold their light out for the world to see. It illumines the world. You know, about the only light left in this world besides the Lord Jesus Christ himself is you and me. I mean, the wickedness and the sin and the corruption, you wonder, how can it get any worse? So there is light available. I like to have a lot of light when I am working on things. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older or what, but I like to have light. You know, at my desk, I don't have one desk lamp. I have two. One bulb is not enough. It's like this, you know, and it is bright, and I like that. You know, I mean, okay, the electric bill might go up a little bit. So what? I can see what I'm doing. I like that. The lamp. So it emphasizes that our listening to the Word of God is crucial. It's crucial. We must listen up so that we don't lose it. Do it or lose it. Hearing the word always involves doing. So, you know, that's something that we all, I think, need to program into our hearts and our minds. It is not just the hearing, it is the doing as well. It's the hearing and the doing. So, humanly speaking, the spreading of the light of the gospel in this world is dependent upon Jesus' hearers. The spreading of the light is dependent on those who hear the word of the Lord. That's us. And the more that we listen to the word, and the more that we do the word, the more light we will receive. Isn't that nice? The more you receive, the more you do, the more you get. Now that's good. Remember the Old Testament? Israel, it was always dependent on their good works, right? If you do what's right, if you follow me, I will bless you. It's not that way, except for this, for us here. This is for us. The more we hear, the more we listen up, the more we do, the more light we get from God through his word. It's there and it is available. Okay, and our last point, point number four, is Jesus' family. Jesus' family, verses 19 to 21. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. The crowd, I mean, they're packed in like sardines, and they cannot get. Mary and the siblings cannot get to him. And it was told him, told Jesus by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. This second story just ends with a bam, there it is. My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. It's all taken to the spiritual realm. As believers, we're God's family if we will listen to his word and as if we will do his word. Now, in the other sense, once you're saved, you're in. You're in the family. But this is special here in this text. Those who hear and those who do is special, on us, my own words, special family members. Hear it and do it. You're a special family member. This is key to intimacy with God. And a lot of people wonder, why am I not close to God? Why do I not have a really close relationship to him? One thing, they're not getting in their Bibles. And another thing is they don't understand this principle that we're looking at tonight. They are not hearing it and doing it and growing and getting more light. And it's crucial that that's what happens. It's key to intimacy with God. We have the most intimate relationship with him if we hear and do his word. Another way that we have a very intimate relationship with God is when we have a hard time in our life and something bad has happened, or we're really seeking God's direction for something in our life and we're not getting anywhere, and all of a sudden we decide, you know what, maybe I better just really get into the Bible. Maybe I better really get in there and meditate and beg and pray and seek God's face. What are we doing? When we do that, we're doing what Jesus said in the first place. Isn't that right? What are we doing? This bad thing came in life, what am I doing? I am listening now. I'm really listening. I'm really taking this in, and I'm doing what God wants me to do. And now I have this very intimate relationship with my God. In my life, that happened to me very vividly when I was in between Lebanon and Washington. And I'm out of Sherwin-Williams running a picker and picking orders for this store and that store and the other and all that. Okay? That lunchtime, that was a very special time for me. Man, I was really begging God for, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Man, it was serious stuff. And you know what? Those times at 3 a.m. They must be the best times I've ever had with God in my life. I was seeking, I was hearing, I was listening, doing. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we have our best relationship. Not too awful long ago, I talked about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the martyr from Nazi Germany, who had the seminary until he was arrested, I guess, and eventually killed. But in his seminary, he had the preacher boy, the preacher's class, where the boys would study for a sermon and they would preach it to the class and him. And he said that I sat there with my Bible open, I put my pencil aside, and I listened to the boy preach. And it didn't matter how poor the sermon was. The Word of God was being preached. And he said, I listened as if it was the very words from God Himself being preached. You know, when you do that, you're going to get something. You're going to get something. I don't know about you, but that's been my practice in my life. I learned to never nod off in chapel when I was in college because you would be punished. You got demerits for that. I learned to not go to sleep in chapel. You know, I'm a simple man. Smite the scorner and the simple will beware, the Proverbs says. So whenever the scorners were smitten, oh yeah, I see. I get that. And so I've made it my thing in my life, same deal. I go to preachers' conferences, I go to preachers' fellowships, and it doesn't matter what I think of that sermon. I don't think if that's dry or, oh man, I'm not getting away with this. No. Somewhere in this sermon, I don't care, there's going to be something God has for me here. There's going to be something here, and there always is. If we will listen carefully, we will get something. So hearing the word, we have to commit to listen to God's word with all that we've got, with all that we are. Jesus has called us to be sure that we really hear, and then B, doing the word. So A, hearing it, and B, doing it. We have made a big deal about hearing the word in this message. But hearing is worthless if it doesn't result in something happening. Something has to happen from our hearing. The major point of Jesus' whole sermon is this. When God's word tells you to forgive, confess a wrong, witness to that person, stop doing that activity permanently, change your attitude about this, leave all and follow me, we must go and do it. That's the point of this whole parable and two extra paragraphs. The whole point, that is the point. You hear and you go and you do something about it. We got to do it. So what do we need to do? We need to every day check our own soil. What's going on in the soil? Is it lush? Is it wonderful topsoil where the seed can enter and grow and blossom and produce fruit? We have to check on that, see where we're at. Make sure that we're committed to listening, and then when the Holy Spirit talks, we go with it and do what He wants us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this wonderful passage. Every word that Jesus had to say, there was just power there. There was goodness there. There was teaching. And if listened to and believed and done, there's success. And so we ask for us here tonight, Lord, may we grasp, may we grab a hold of this great principle, this great truth of hearing and doing what we hear. We get more light. We grow more. We see more done. And so thank you for revealing your truth and your word to us here tonight in this passage. May we grow thereby. May we see fruit from it all. And we ask your blessing on each one who has made it a point to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.